everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I'm your host, as always. What are you
Everything's falling
throwing
apart.
Things yeah. at me? I'm your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman. And with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, in case you didn't know, it's Get Out because, you know, we weren't doing it originally. And then everybody under the sun started. This movie got more
raving.
Word of mouth
yeah.
and people going crazy over it. And I guess, you know, partially because it's Peele.
And yeah, Jordan
so
Peele.
People know
people,
who he is,
yep.
and it's, you know, from Key and Peele and everything.
Yep.
And then it's a horror movie-ish, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tension movie. It's like a creepy movie, whatever.
Right.
It's not your typical, like, blood and guts crazy horror movie
right.
or anything
right.
like
it's
that.
Your,
but it's
thriller.
It's in, like, the horror genre.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a certain amount of people who have to go see it just because, but wait, he's the comedy guy, and it's a horror
right.
movie.
Right.
And once you got as far as that, right, then everyone, this is the word of mouth, like, king of the
this
year or something.
Yeah.
And the movie only cost like $5 million.
Yeah. Did you see the box office for the weekend yet? I didn't.
Yeah.
I can look it up.
It
I wonder how well
it
did. It
got like 35 or something.
That's pretty big.
So, yeah, that's it's huge for this little thing. This is a movie that when it started out and it was getting made and, you know, Peele wanted to do it. He had this idea, whatever. When it started out and it's only got a $5 million budget, right?
Right.
This was going to be some tiny little thing and hardly anyone would see it. But it got in front of the right people or whatever. It got it got something behind it to where it got a big release. And man, people are just eating it up. Everyone's talking about it. The internet went crazy a couple days ago with everyone talking about how great it is, how well it's doing on like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff
right.
like that. So, we had to like switch, which,
yeah.
Fine with me actually, because
what was
this or Collide.
Oh yeah.
And
I still think we won out on this,
next week, obviously. I mean, cause we'll jump to that, but
I'm psyched
in keeping with our own personal bafflement over the summer.
Yeah.
Right? Logan comes out next week. Then the King Kong movie the week after that. I mean,
we're
just
looking
like
at a stretch.
We're in the middle of summer
I
right
love
now.
It. Yeah.
So
this is great. I'm so nervous about Logan.
Yeah. And then summer, there's nothing.
Then there's
nothing comes out in summer. There's no big movies coming in summer. Anyway, so it's going to be Logan next week. But, you know, other stuff going on. We have a lot of stuff to talk, obviously, happen. And even though we don't necessarily do a lot of this, every time someone dies, right?
Yeah.
Bill Paxton died. And he was only 61.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, complications from surgery. I don't even know any more of the story than that. And probably will never
I don't know
try that
out.
Hard to find out.
Right.
I don't know what the surgery was.
Yeah.
I don't know what the thing is, whatever,
yeah.
just complications from surgery. And he was only 61. And I really, you know, was ready for more Bill Paxton.
Me too.
He was for a long time, you know, he's not exactly like one of my favorite actors, and yet he sort of is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ever been, and I, you know, you hate to say this because it's goofy, but he's never like the best actor in the movie. He's not the world's best actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is still a really good actor, right? I don't think that I've ever seen him in anything where I thought, my God,
yeah,
that's like awesome acting, right?
Yeah.
But he's really good in everything. And what is, you know, the two things that I think kind of pull me toward him is I just sort of grew up with him.
This is big for our generation.
Like he's just
started in.
He just was in
mm-hmm.
everything. And a lot of the stuff that you don't even remember being in, you
right.
know, he's in like, or that you just don't remember
at all.
I mean,
right.
he's in Terminator. He's in Aliens. He's in Weird Science.
Mm-hmm.
He's in like all these movies and not in giant roles in some of them, but
right.
you know, Streets of Fire.
Yeah.
He's in all kinds of
he
stuff.
He was in almost 100 movies.
Yeah. And he's in a lot of, as his career went on, right. He was,
mm-hmm.
he's in a lot of huge movies,
mm-hmm.
but he's not necessarily, you know, the lead or anything
right.
like that. He's not like the biggest role in any of them. And people keep saying stuff like, you know, I hate seeing all the announcements of his death because they all say like
game over
from
man.
Titanic.
Oh, I thought
or,
you meant,
you know, like whatever.
Game over, man. Game,
the,
and I'm
no,
like,
they
doing that.
No, they just say
right,
like
they,
Bill Paxton of
Titanic.
And it's like Titanic. Like he's in the movie for five
and I'm like,
minutes or whatever.
He's
like
from
give
Near
me a
Dark.
Break.
That's
he's
where he's
in
from.
He's in awesome movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the one I was just gonna mention, like for me, because
that the,
because that is the best movie ever.
Near Dark is it.
But
yeah.
he's so cool in
he's
that
great.
Movie. And, you know, at the time that that came out and how old I was and when
right.
I saw it and all that stuff.
You must have been super impressionable. And that's the greatest film to see at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was a movie, too. that was probably, like, one of the earliest movies I saw where it just was bonkers.
It was off the rails from
it just,
the start.
It just
it
was
no rules.
Yeah, and it had
yeah.
– it didn't care what you thought about mm-hmm. vampires or
yeah.
what you thought about where this movie would go or
yeah.
whatever. It was wild.
Yeah, it was
and it's a great movie. Anyway, but he's in, you know, he's in lots of awesome stuff. He's in huge classic movies. He's in movies that, you know, will – live forever like,
mm-hmm.
and not like Titanic right but like
Titanic's never going
like
anywhere.
He's in Tombstone I mean
right.
he's in so many things and it really sucks he's got a TV show right now that just
Training
started
Day.
Yeah
great yeah.
just started
yeah.
I think it's run like four episodes
yeah
the story that you hear is that they've got the whole first season actually
oh,
already done
they should, I hope they run it Just
I
don't do
I
anything weird.
I assume they will. They're going to
yeah.
do some sort of like a
yeah.
tribute thing or whatever, but I assume they will run the whole series. But just like really out of the blue, like, you know, it's not like you heard about him being sick or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
And for someone who is only 61, even though that's not exactly super young, but
right.
still it's just,
that's not that old. That's
really,
not old enough.
It's really weird. And I think, like I said, I don't think he was ever, you know, like the greatest actor, but
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that he didn't, you know, bring some serious awesomeness
he did.
To stuff that he was in. And he
yeah.
really did. And not only that, he was really great because, you know, he did everything.
He really did.
Like
he
was not in, he was practically like a character actor
mm-hmm.
that you would never even know their name.
Right,
except
that guy,
he was,
but...
except that he was really good.
Yeah. Right.
So he was everywhere and you knew his name. But he, you know, he'd be in comedic roles. He'd
yeah,
be in
he could do everything.
Dramatic roles.
Yep.
He'd be. He was in all kinds of stuff. So
I agree.
I'm blown away. It really sucks.
It sucks. My voice. I'm gonna keep coughing. Sorry, everyone. I agree. He wasn't the best actor, but he was always the most memorable. And he was a guy that in any project he was in, he made everything better. Every
right,
movie that he
right.
was ever in was never bad because he was in it. In fact,
right.
even the shit films he was in
right.
got better because of him. And like you, I grew up with him. And as soon as I started seeing him all over the place, it wasn't just that guy. Like he demanded you know who he was. Like
right.
you, when he was in Weird Science, everyone was like, that's a funny movie. But what was that guy? Because
yeah.
he was it. And then
yeah, and that was so early.
Terminator
yeah.
was a little rough. But I mean, you remember him because he's very memorable. But by the time he hit Aliens, his star was on fire, and you're just like, that's the guy. Like, I don't know that I ever wanted to be the characters Bill Paxton was in films, but I wanted that guy with me,
right?
You know, and not just for the comedic stuff, but I still think of all the films he's done, and you're right, Titanic is almost always at the bottom of my memory for the things he's done. I would think of things like Frailty, which he never even was in. He just directed it.
Right.
And he co-wrote it or wrote it, and I think that's a very subtle, effective film. I mentioned on Twitter that what got me the most about Bill Paxton wasn't the characters that he played, but anytime he did an interview or a junket or anything, he was the most humble.
Oh yeah. He's
and respectful and likable guy. Like
right.
Jesus, I just wanted to hang out with him.
He's famously like the nicest,
the
guy
most approachable
in
guy.
Yeah.
And if you see,
and he has been for years. It's
and
not,
he, right. This is not a new thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like everybody just started saying that.
Yeah. Right.
Now that
now,
he died.
Yeah, right.
But they've all been saying it.
There was a post.
The whole
I think
time.
It was BuzzFeed or something where they were like celebrities mourn Bill Paxton, and of course everyone says their apologies and condolences on Twitter, and the list was enormous and it was
yeah.
varied. I mean, it was like, you know, every corner of entertainment, you know? And I was just, I'm pretty jaded as a person when it comes to movies. And we'll get into that a bit when we do the review too. But when I saw Bill Paxton had died, I thought immediately, like, okay, Eddie Murphy dies on a snowboard every year.
Right.
This
right.
is bullshit. This is someone's weird joke.
Right.
And then I went online to check and I saw it and I froze. Like, I genuinely froze. I didn't tear up. I didn't do anything melodramatic, but I froze. I was like, no, that can't be true. 'Cause that's impossible.
Yeah.
Anybody who's curious about him in a way that you're not used to seeing him, I just listened to Mark Maron's WTF podcast a week ago, and he had Bill Paxton on. Excuse me. And Bill was talking about stuff that he's got in the pipes, like all these projects he was planning on working for a long time.
Right.
It's a great interview, and you get to really figure out who Bill Paxton is as a guy. He doesn't go through a lot of stuff talking about all the movies, but you really get insight into how great and cool and respectful and honorable he is as a person. And he touches on stuff like where he came up with lines for Weird Science and Aliens. And that's interesting too, but I could have listened to that interview for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an hour, but I could have gone on for much more. It was genuinely shocking to see that he had passed away. Yeah. And that sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on.
Yeah.
Oscars to bigger and brighter things.
Get those out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah. The Oscars happened and you know, there's, oddly enough, there's not that much interesting to say because there was such a snafu.
Did you watch
everybody
it?
Had said.
Did you see it live?
I did. Yeah. And now it's funny because the ratings have been going down for the Oscars mm-hmm. for years, and they're down again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that the Oscars are losing viewers mm-hmm. as a show.
Oh, this is where you say
but now everyone's talking about it. No, yeah. I don't think it was staged.
You're a conspiracy
but now all of a sudden everyone's right. talking about it. And you might have to talk about the Oscars mm-hmm. after the Oscars.
Right.
Now, not so much, because now everyone's like, oh, well, let me see what happened. And they managed to get everyone talking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the goofiest thing. But you know, the awards, even other than that, had other flubs that people are talking about. They show the picture of the woman who's still alive, who's not even who's not even the woman, mm-hmm. you know, that the name's right.
Right. The image is
but
all
they
wrong.
Have a different right. picture for whatever reason.
Yeah.
However that comes to pass. You know, clearly it was all bashing Donald Trump night
sure.
and it was actually a pretty good show.
Like
Jimmy Kimmel was good and it was a fun and entertaining show and everything. And most everything that happened, wasn't a surprise even when Moonlight won. I don't think it should have won. nothing against Moonlight, but I think they had it right the first time and La La Land should have won. But having said that, it's not anything that can be a surprise because there's so many things, so many categories this year that things were split a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? So Best Picture, you know, La La Land won Best Picture everywhere,
right?
But so did Moonlight. Moonlight won Best Picture all kinds of places. And then obviously they were the two split of the Golden Globes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They both won for the Golden Globe.
Right.
But they were everywhere. And you have stuff like Best Actress, right? You know, she won lots
Emma
of
Stone.
Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Isabelle Huppert won lots of awards.
Yep.
And so that, you know, just to have her, you know, nominated from a foreign film is pretty good.
Right.
But lots of other stuff like, you know, nobody had any second guesses about Casey Affleck winning, don't think, or Damien Chazelle.
Right.
Even though
or Viola Davis or, you know,
yeah, Viola Davis was a lock.
Yep.
I mean, it was all pretty. And, you know, I think oddly enough, you get the wrong year in movies. It makes it kind of boring.
Right.
And what's even maybe worse is it seems like forever ago we were talking about the Critics' Choice Awards.
Yeah.
Now that they
wasn't that long ago.
Now that they decided to be early, man, it's like a long run of everybody's just heard the same names all the time.
Right.
Now you get to the Academy Awards, everyone's like, yeah, whatever. We know who's going to win.
Right.
And whether it ends up being La La Land or Moonlight, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I know it's one of those. And everything is so locked in by the time you get to them that it's, you know, it's kind of boring.
Right.
Do you need to tune in? You're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
And except that there were some things that were a little weird. Obviously, Suicide Squad won an Academy Award.
Right.
That, you know, sent the internet screaming. Everyone freaked out about that. But there were also really weird things about the Academy Awards this year. Like, there were only three movies nominated in that category, and one of them was a foreign film.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, wasn't going to win.
Right.
Kudos for nominating it.
Yeah. Right.
But it wasn't going to win. There's no way that was going to win. So basically you had Star Trek or Suicide Squad.
Right.
And if Star Trek won, I'm not any happier.
Right.
It's just still stupid.
Right.
And there's weird things going on in the Oscars and the nominating. And to have those two movies, it's, you know, it's makeup and hair.
Mm-hmm.
There were no other movies that had makeup and hair.
Yeah.
You couldn't have any other nominees. And, you know, 10 years ago, neither of these would have even been nominated.
Right.
I mean, it's like the category has shifted now to some kind of weird special effects category. It's not really hair and makeup. It's like you made monster people.
Right.
So hair and makeup. You have some movie that did a bunch of hair and makeup. No, not you.
Right. Yeah,
you're not in this category anymore.
Right.
And, you know, other than that, not really a lot of, I guess there was no room for surprising things to happen, except that The Salesman won Best Foreign Film, the Iranian film, which allowed us to have the note read that he didn't show up and all that stuff. And, you know, it's interesting to have that happen. It's like the third best movie of the ones nominated at best. It's not that great a movie. And it's competing against, you know, the movie that got nominated for Best Hair and Makeup, which is a really good movie. Tony Erdman, which is a really good movie. And bonkersly this year, I'm making up that word.
That's fine.
Elle, which had Isabelle Huppert nominated.
Right.
And won Best Foreign Language Film almost everywhere.
Yeah.
That The Handmaiden didn't win it.
Right.
Neither of those movies were nominated.
Right.
So something in the foreign language Oscars has gone a little sideways somewhere. Anyway, but the Oscars, other than that, not, I guess, much noteworthy happening. And now that we've had the big goof, everyone's already talked about it. So it's like it's like somehow it went wrong to the point where now everyone's, as much as people would talk the Oscars to death anyway, now they've, you know, redoubled their efforts and everyone has to talk about it.
It's amazing that more things don't happen like this at the Oscars or any of them, the Globes, the critics. It just, there are so many balls to be juggled and kept in the air at the same time, and so many hands, and you can only have so many production assistants
and so many people
and
it's all happening live.
And you've got so many watchmen watching over the watchmen to keep, you know, that's just on the floor. I'm not even talking about in the studio where the producers have 60 monitors.
Right.
And the simple fact that this happened was inevitable, not for Best Picture, but for something. And it just is, you know, in some ways, a perfect example of how finely tuned these things run all the time and you don't know it, you know, but it certainly drew attention to it. It certainly made it interesting at the detriment a little bit to Moonlight, but that, you know, they've won a bunch of things. It's not like they were hurting. They still got up on stage. It created a moment with Jordan Horowitz, I think, when he just took control and said, no, my friends get this, like, get up here. Like, that's an incredible moment that will live on past the memory of this thing.
Right.
And the most annoying thing that was briefly, you know, humorous and frustrating was it resurrected all the Marissa Tomei arguments that I saw in the places that I like to talk online, where everyone's like, see, this is exactly what happened when Jack Palance mistakenly gave it to Marissa Tomei and they didn't have the guts to come out. And I was like, no, this is exactly why that didn't happen. They would have come right out and fixed it.
Right,
so
right.
Shut up if you believe these stupid things. But it was interesting to watch, though I have a theory that sometimes when all the films take almost an an equitable slice of the fictitious pie of awards possibilities that the viewership goes down.
Right.
If you have a single dominant thing, like the year that Titanic, because we keep bringing it up, the year that Titanic was nominated, I mean, tons of people watched, and it was obvious that that was going to win friggin' everything.
Right.
But still, it drew everybody in because they, I think it was a film that people saw, so they rooted for their home team.
Right.
You know, you don't watch the World Series if two teams you never knew are on because you don't have anybody to root for. And I think in this, with so many films, maybe people didn't see them all or couldn't actually support them all. I think it just dwindles the interest a bit.
But I think also that if something like, you know, I don't even know, but maybe like Arrival had more of a shot because a lot more people saw that.
Right.
But when you get to even now, even though there's been tons of word of mouth and people are loving it and everything, La La Land still hasn't had that many people see it.
Right.
Moonlight, even less.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got
– and down the line, Manchester by the Sea.
You've got two movies that people aren't seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Casey Affleck, like you said, you know, locked in for Manchester by the Sea, which people haven't seen.
Right.
And you get all these, you know, Oscar movies.
Yeah, right.
But when you have something like Titanic and everyone has seen it and it breaks box office records and everyone knows the movie, and then also people are talking about it winning.
Right.
Then they're like, well, see, it's like a movie that
it validates.
I get, you know, and makes sense and is not, you know, the stupid, snooty Oscar movies that I don't want to watch. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you have both all really kind of what people think of as Oscar baity movies are the ones who are really locked in, you know, no one was coming out of left field to win Best Picture this year, no matter what. I mean, it was one of those two, and there's no way, you know, it was going to be anything else. So I don't know. There's not that much interest.
Did you do any Oscar pools? I've tried to get you to do them even with me, and you're like, I don't care.
This was the year of it not mattering too.
I would have
lost for sure on Best Picture.
Well, you know,
because I would have definitely picked La La Land.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, I have to wonder a little bit, if the Critics' Choice moving back and making kind of the whole season just that much longer didn't help swing things a little bit towards Moonlight.
Maybe.
Because, you know, now everyone's been saying La La Land so much that somebody wants to say Moonlight.
Well, there's a big reaction.
Like it won the BAFTAs, which were very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, really, very recent.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, as time has gone on, you know, the pendulum has just swung a little bit towards Moonlight. So.
I love a couple things that people were saying about it, you know, in reaction to the Oscars so white, and they're like, oh, look, this year now all kinds of people of color are winning. And I remember one particular argument where I just said, have you seen Moonlight? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, great. Go see it.
Right.
It's actually not that bad for you. But, you know, anyway, I was in a couple pools. I did good. I got Best Picture wrong on both of them because one of them I always vote what I want to win, what I think will win in my heart.
Right,
if I ran it and I had the votes, and then one is based on what I've seen. And it certainly helps to have seen all the movies.
Because
I'm going up against people who had never seen Lion and, you know, Moonlight, and they were still voting, but I lost Best Picture on both of them. But I still won the pools overall.
Right.
Because having seen all the movies helps a lot.
Right.
But anyway.
Anyway, okay, so now we did mention Get Out, but it is also time for our own awards. And we're going to do our awards first.
I love it.
Because then however much time we have left,
that's what we'll do with Get Out.
So it's our awards. And if you're tuning in for the first time or are not familiar with the show, these are the can't win awards because we cannot come up with a better name. If you are a fan, if you've listened to us for a long time, send us another name.
We may use it.
Your name could permanently be attached to the show. We'll change the name. Neither one of us love the name, except that it kind of fits. It kind of actually works,
It does win. Yeah.
These are our own awards that we give out to highlight some of the movies. We do the top five screenplay, director, actor, actress, and movie for movies that can't win or can't actually even get nominated.
Can't reasonably be expected to get an Oscar.
Exactly. Or even a nomination, right? Movies that are in the wrong genre or have the wrong people or have the wrong budget or whatever it is that no one's going to pay attention to them theoretically.
Right.
They're not going to get anywhere near the attention they deserve. And they're just not in the class of movie for whatever reason. They could be better movies,
right?
But they are not in the realm of movies that are going to get nominated. So running full head of steam into our awards.
Yeah.
I hear that you have a disclaimer.
Well, okay. So the disclaimer is typically we started doing this thing around the time, this was like 3 years ago, God, maybe even four, because we've been doing this for several years, when we saw Looper. And Looper is the easy go-to to remind anybody that is a really smart, really well-acted, really incredibly well-directed, really thoughtful screenplay, but it had no chance in hell of getting nominated because it was a time travel sci-fi film.
It's super sci-fi.
It's not even just
there are sci-fi movies that could get nominated if they're the right kind of sci-fi, right? Yeah.
So when we and that was a fun year because we both basically just picked Looper all the way down, and it got thrown into a big wrench last year for us. Me, definitely. You, I think, substantially because Mad Max Fury Road managed to get nominated for Best Picture.
Right.
And that was my can't win for everything.
Right. And you were out of luck.
And I'm out of luck. And this year, it's kind of hard because now the specter of Fury Road is hanging over everything on my ear, on my shoulder going, yeah, but.
But it could
you
have.
Might be wrong. So going forward, I finally made my peace. I didn't do it this year, but I'm going to do it next year. In that, recognizing that anything could get nominated, I understand that. And Fury Road definitely appeals to that argument because it really is, though wonderful, it's really just a high-octane, crazy action film.
Right.
I'm stunned that it still got nominated.
In some sense, it had no business getting nominated.
Right.
It's almost not fair.
I think it
to
should
discredit
have won.
It. Exactly.
You know, but I agree.
But it's almost not fair to rule it out because it shouldn't have got nominated.
Right. I mean, so going forward, I've decided after the hardship of doing this year's list, which was incredibly difficult for me, and I love making lists, I've decided to use the Fury Road conundrum as the exception and not the now allowable rule, which
I don't know what that means.
It just means that even if something could get nominated, I know in my heart likely it's not going to.
Right.
And therefore it's fit for my list. So there are things on my list this year that one could argue, hey, that might have been in.
Right.
And really all I have to do is defend against you because you'll be like, I don't buy that. That could have got nominated.
So,
but anything could get nominated. So when you have anything can get nominated, then I realize the argument here is no, it couldn't.
Now you have no rules.
So theoretically,
right, the rule of being eligible for our awards,
right,
is not just that you did not get nominated for anything.
Right.
But that there really is no chance that you would have anyway, right? And this year made that whole thing particularly difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because there were so many movies that I wanted to use that didn't get nominated for anything.
Right.
But I'm like, man, in a different year,
maybe
that totally would have got nominated. If this year was not so locked up by like five movies.
Yep.
And whatever the movie I'm thinking of would have come out next year or last year or whatever, that totally would have gotten nominated.
Right.
Or at least it certainly would have been very conceivable that it would have got nominated. So I had to rule out like everything.
See, and that's a great example because there
And then if that weren't bad enough, I'd have some other movie and it'd get nominated for something.
Right.
So
and
throw
usually,
you out again.
Usually what's happened is I look for the best horror film, sci-fi film, or fantasy film because those never get nominated.
Because,
and you run the
game. Because then you're safe.
This year, I'll mention it again when we get to it, but I actually had considered I have like a first choice, second choice, and then like I just threw names down. When it came to actor, I put Mark Ruffalo's name down for Infinitely Polar Bear, even though
a
certain year, he totally could be nominated for
that. If The Lobster could get you nominated.
Right.
that could have gotten nominated.
I wrote it down, but I know it doesn't really count. I just put it down as like an honorable mention.
Right.
But that is an instance where I'm like, I truly believe Infinitely Polar Bear could get a nomination.
Right.
And therefore, not because it could get best set design, but he could be nominated for that in a different year.
Right.
So that's
not fair. And here's my problem too. And just for clarification, since you just mentioned about, you know, it getting nominated for something, it's not necessarily that if the person couldn't get nominated for actor,
right.
You know, it's kind of like that. If it could get nominated for anything,
yeah,
that rules you out
right.
altogether.
And
right?
I don't play that way.
That's the theory anyway. That's
right.
That's what we've been working on so far. But I am going to throw out before we start actually mentioning these, I don't have The Witch on my list. And I did.
You did.
I did at one point
did,
for something somewhere. Mm-hmm. I did have it on the list somewhere. And then I found out that it won every freaking award
for
in, like the universe that's anything like genre awards or all kinds of things like I don't know if that it was sound, but
it's probably sound mixing.
But it got nominated for a bunch of stuff all over the place. If you go to IMDb, right?
Yeah.
And like look it up and you can go to the awards. And then also just I like Googled it and it and, like it got nominated for a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, fine.
Right.
I don't know. So, but I did really like that movie. And so just for people who are listening, if you haven't seen that yet, you got to see it because I don't even like horror
it's
movies,
creepy,
right?
Yeah.
And it's just very cool. Indeed. It's not even like, I don't know that it's like real scary. Like,
no,
I guess for some people, if you go to a horror movie and it's over and you're like, well, I wasn't scared, then it went wrong.
Right.
But,
well, even the year we did Looper was nominated for things for the Academy Awards.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
it was nominated for. Yeah.
So
for,
I don't use that.
Right.
If you get nominated, you're disqualified because then I'm just going to have Mike and wedding date.
Right. Yeah.
And
not,
I'm not going to play that.
Not necessarily like editing you know, whatever.
It's got to be one of the major categories.
Right.
So anyway.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
this was I'm glad you said it was hard too, because sometimes I know you hate lists and you're just like, to hell with it.
Yeah,
this
it was really hard, and I kept having to disqualify movies. And I'm going to throw out right now that I only have three movies. There's five things, but I still only have three movies.
I
try to spread that out as much as I can every year. I try to have five different movies.
Yeah, right, at least.
And if I have like director and movie the same thing, I try to find something else anyway.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And, but man, this year I couldn't.
And sometimes I can't either.
Everything I wanted to do. And then at one point I was like, I might just throw in foreign films. I mean, it's like,
right.
But then they could have got nominated for foreign films. So
yeah.
Then you're in trouble there too.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we're going to just go through the list. I'll start.
Okay.
And, first, we're going to do screenplay, right?
Yeah.
Now, this movie still had me, even doing this movie had me in trouble because I'm like, how can I say that this movie couldn't get nominated?
Yeah.
And
see, and I won't defend
the logic
that, but,
I came up with.
Yeah.
Right. Was on paper, it seems like this movie could easily get nominated.
OK.
But if you actually watch it,
you
and,
know,
and see this movie.
Right.
It's just a little bit too far to one side. But my nominee for screenplay is Sing Street.
Oh.
It's it's the new movie by John Carney.
Yeah.
Who obviously, you know, shot to instant classic fame with Once. He's the guy who wrote and directed Once.
Yeah.
And then also Begin Again, which people did not love as much, but still was a good movie.
Yep.
And now this is the movie of It's about a kid in Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, is basically like bullied in high school, sort of. He's like this kind of punk in high school, and he meets this girl, and to impress her, he like just throws out. It's one of those crazy things. Like it's almost a scene from Friends where it's like you hear yourself saying something and you can't stop yourself, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds this hot girl that he wants to impress, and he asks her if she wants to be. She says she's an actress, so he asks her if he wants to be in the music video for his band that they're making a music video. And then he turns around and walks away. He doesn't even have a band.
That's great.
So now he's got to make a band.
Yeah.
And and then
that's awesome.
And then have some gigs or something, and then make a music video so she can be in it or whatever. And it's awesome, hilarious movie, but it's really small budget.
Right.
And it's just, I actually wouldn't be that surprised if it got nominated for something. But it's just kind of in that low budget art house area.
Yeah.
And it's even compared to Once, it's clearly like very small, you know, it's right. almost, you know, with a little work, we could convince you that it was a made for TV movie. And,
right.
and it's yeah. like really can't count, but really good movie. Anyway, that's my screenplay.
In my hustle to try to come up with the films, like you said, you could only come up with three. I managed to come up with technically nine, but really only six because I was stretching. Thankfully, I enjoyed this one movie because it saved me.
You got like a tie?
One. No, it saved me in more than one category if I was in trouble. I had originally, when I was scrolling through my list, I said, well, it's going to be The Lobster. And then I went, no, because Lobster could easily be nominated for screenplay, maybe the only thing it could get. So I went, okay, what's my backup? Well, Nocturnal Animals. And I'm like, the hell with you, what's the matter with you? That could get nominated too. So I settled on
that. Did get nominated for the Critics' Choice.
See?
So
I settled on the story that I thought was most well written, and the guy's a screenwriting machine anyway, The Nice Guys by Shane Black. So that was my kind of saving grace. So,
right.
Yeah.
I thought pretty long and hard about that movie a couple of times.
Yeah.
And the only thing that kept me out of that, because there was a time when I was kind of thinking, can I nominate Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. Right. As actor for his role.
Right.
Yeah.
And
he was really good.
And the only thing that kept me out of it was I didn't quite love him that much. He was really good.
Yeah.
He was definitely very good in that. And it's a surprisingly fun movie.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I was like, but of all the movies out there, he just didn't, you know, super wow me with his role or anything. He was, you know, he was really good. He was like Bill Paxton, right? He was really good. I'm not saying he's not good. But anyway,
well, it was even funny when I looked it up because I had even told you I had to look up some of these, and I saw that The Lobster did in fact get nominated for screenplay, and I went, "Well, the hell with that!"
And like, and Colin Firth got nominated in it, so it's getting nominated all over the place.
So
what can you do?
Right.
Okay. Best actress. We'll switch and let you go first.
This is a bit of a cheat, and it's because I own it too.
Because you cheat.
This is a cheat because I can argue it, and not because she was nominated for something else, but I had Amy Adams in Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, and that's a total cheat.
And I think that's an absolute cheat because I think she could get nominated, but I actually believe that Nocturnal Animals, the vast majority of typical years, would never get nominated for the major of actress, actor, and picture. Though it might get screenplay,
it's in the wrong wheelhouse
just,
of movie.
It is just David Lynchian, you know, Tom Fordian. It's just crooked enough to not be allowed into that side of the rope
that people don't want.
And this is what I mean by Fury Road. Like Fury Road should never come in because you're never going to want to sit next to a movie if movies were people that smells like gasoline and blood. Like you just that's like we don't mean to let them in. But there's a part of me that thinks her in this role, I don't know that is such a 50-50 shot. I kind of lean more, but it's my list and I'm biased towards it. And I couldn't find another woman in a series of films that was strong enough. I looked at Allied. I looked at Denial, the Holocaust film that I actually liked Rachel Weisz in a lot. But I thought, you know, she's not going to get nominated for an Oscar. But, I mean, my backup was Rachel Weisz for Denial.
The problem –
that was the hardest of them all.
The problem
is the hardest one.
The problem in the whole area – and I had to rule out a lot of movies for various categories for the same reason.
Yeah.
Because I looked at things like Denial, not Denial necessarily,
but Denial-ish like those.
But I looked at a lot of movies like that didn't get nominated for anything.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, look, here's a movie that didn't get nominated for anything. And not only did it not get nominated for anything, but people didn't pay a lot of attention to it. It wasn't in any kind of serious consideration. And I'm like, but it's so Oscar baity.
Yeah, right.
That how can I say that that couldn't get nominated?
Yeah.
It's clearly being made just because it wants to get nominated, right?
Right.
It's like
yeah.
It's like rules don't apply.
Right.
Which I didn't love.
Yeah.
But somebody might have loved it, right?
Yeah.
And thought, "Hey, well, you know, the actor and actress in that movie were really good."
Right.
But you can't say that movie can't get nominated because
it can.
Then
and
you're
often,
just saying anything, right?
Right.
I mean, but I was in the same boat. I had a lot of movies. No one's paying attention to this.
Yeah.
For a while, I was thinking about Eye in the Sky because I really
I
liked that movie.
Yeah.
I liked that movie a lot, and I still can't figure out why no one will admit that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a movie that clearly was a, you know, big dramatic thing that people should be paying attention to.
Yeah.
With big stars in it.
Yeah.
With
yep.
big name people giving really good performances.
Not bad performances too.
But then I thought I just can't say that
yeah.
couldn't get nominated. Right.
I almost went it's funny. I didn't want to go the foreign film route. I almost went for the woman whose name I'm blanking on in Julieta.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause she was great.
Right.
She's great. And I don't believe she would have been nominated here.
I don't believe that she would have been nominated either, but
yeah.
like 5 years ago, I wouldn't think Isabella Huppert would get nominated
right.
for Elle because being nominated out of a foreign film
right.
just doesn't happen.
It's very rare.
Right. So
yeah.
anyway,
that's mine.
My actress is, I almost feel like this is a bit of a cheat, except that it's totally not. But it's Greta Gerwig in Maggie's Plan.
Yeah.
And the reason I say I feel like it's a cheat is because I think this movie should be
mm-hmm.
in the arena of things that could get nominated.
Right.
It's a really good movie.
I
almost had this for screenplay, too, because it's written and directed by the same woman who did The Private Lives of Pippa Lee a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
really
good. The movie has Ethan Hawke, Maya Rudolph, Julianne Moore, Bill Hader, Greta Gerwig.
Wow.
It's a big, big thing. It's like some weird fluke that just, you know, nobody raised their hand
right.
and said, I want to make this movie – you know, get a really big release, be
right.
a much bigger deal, but I can't figure out why.
Yeah,
but it's a little bit of a kind of screwy thing that it's about. It's
yeah.
not sci-fi or horror or whatever, but it's still in a weird genre,
right?
Of movies that end up being art house. Maybe they get people behind them and they get a little bit of a cult status or whatever,
right.
but these like super indie films, just because it's about something weird, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I think last year it was Welcome to Me,
yep.
where it was Kristen Wiig and
yep.
it's just about something that's so
yeah.
weird, even though Kristen Wiig is in it and it's awesome.
That's cool.
No one's going to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
This is that sort of movie. It's Greta Gerwig has this plan for her life that gets all screwed up. And it's really fun to watch this movie too, because if we'd have shifted this movie a little bit and changed things a little bit, you could see like Robin Williams
right
being this
yeah.
person
right
even though it's a woman and
right.
it and you have to change a lot of you know her thinking about herself and all that stuff
yeah. but still
but Robin Williams made a lot of like really small indie movies where it was like I'm just gonna talk about crazy stuff
right
and a weird you know kind of view of life and whatever you know stuff like that and anyway it was really good and she's really good in it and I'm biased because I'm a big fan of hers anyway. But that's my actress.
That's cool.
All right.
Actor.
I picked because I had nothing that I had nothing that I couldn't rule out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had like a dozen movies and I probably had 5 or 6 roles that I thought those are really good roles.
Yeah.
They're doing really good.
Right.
But I just can't.
Yeah.
I just can't make myself do it. So my pick for actor is Ferdia Walsh-Pilo, the star in Sing Street, Irish kid in Sing Street, because he's really good.
He's really, really good. You're lucky
he went
foreign.
It's not foreign.
What's his name? Ferdia Walsh-Pilo.
Pilo.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm writing that down. I'll never remember it.
Right. but he's really good in this movie, and this is one of the killers for me because I still had to compare him to a couple of other roles, right?
Yeah.
And what it came down for me, even though there's a bit of this movie that's almost like a, you know, like a weird science, like a John Hughes movie, like yeah. it's a goofy high school-y thing, whatever. Right. But there's a lot of stuff, but it's also a more serious movie too.
Right.
It's got like its serious side. And there is a lot of the stuff in this movie that this kid has to do that reminded me exactly of why Casey Affleck was so good in Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
He has to do a lot of stuff that's actually really hard to
right,
do.
Right.
And he does it and he's
makes it look easy.
He's not a kid, but I mean he's a
yeah.
fake high school age.
Right. Right.
Yeah. He's movie high school age, yeah. right? Because I feel like maybe he's about 18 to 20 or
yeah,
something like that.
Right.
And he's playing basically like kind of freshman or sophomore,
right.
you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
High school. But anyway, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of the things, if this movie gained like a bunch of traction somehow from somewhere and
right.
people saw it,
yeah.
this is a movie much like lots of John Hughes movies, right?
Yeah.
People would be like quoting it for decades,
sure,
right?
right?
Like
yeah.
there's all kinds of,
all they have to do is get it. Seen.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's my actor.
It's funny. The first choice for actor that I had, and I wish I could stand by it, is Tom Hardy in Legend, but I looked up Legend and it came out the year before last. So
it doesn't fit.
It came out at the end of 2015, but technically, if I'm being honest, I can't do it. So, and that sucks because I actually like him. He plays twin gangster brothers, and
right.
it's really fun. So I went with the guy you already picked, Ryan Gosling in Nice Guys.
Who
stood out enough for me as this bumbling PI who has no sense of smell and finds himself. I think, remember how we laughed so hard at the end when he realized, he goes, I think I have superpowers.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, it's not just because of that, but I found myself thinking of that film off and on every once in a while. And when I got pushed into a corner for this, I just kept thinking, man, thank God the Nice Guys came out this
right,
year.
Right.
So,
and you had something to pick.
And I had a chance at doing it.
And you know, the more I think about this, and it's really weird, the more I am forced now to think about Bill Paxton and everything,
mm-hmm.
and the more stuff that I've seen, especially over like the last 6 to 8 months, the more I feel like Ryan Gosling is actually kind of in that same boat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weirdly ordinary guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is, every time I've seen him in an interview, every time I see him talking to people,
yeah.
he, you know, either he's just putting on a great act
right.
or whatever.
right. Yeah.
But he is like the most kind of down to earth.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, you know, reminds me of, you know, someone who gets famous or whatever and is like, I can't believe they're giving me all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just seems like very real. And he was surprisingly awesome at the Academy Awards.
He was
since,
great.
Since it's time to talk about the Academy Awards anyway, mm-hmm. right? When they pull in that busload of people.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I don't even know, like, people aren't talking about this except that he's got the whisper meme
mm-hmm.
that's become a meme. Like, everyone wants to know what he whispered to that one lady,
right.
and now that's all over the internet. But, you know, when they first came out, he gave that first guy,
yeah.
like, his whole swag bag.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, here,
yeah,
take all this stuff.
You can take this.
You're like, what?
You can pay the taxes on the way out, too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was awesome.
And I was like, what the? Anyway, so that's cool that he gets. Okay,
so
we're
director.
On director.
Yeah. I wrote down Tom Ford and then had to cross it out because there's no way in hell I could justify. Of course he could get
right because
director.
He's Tom Ford.
Because now this
director
is
director makes things hard.
Right. Director is different because even if the picture they direct doesn't have any chance because it's too edgy or too weird, the director itself could be nominated for their work.
Right.
So
Steven Spielberg comes out with a really stupid
right.
movie. You can't nominate
right.
him. Right.
And, you know, again, the Mad Max Fury Road where George got nominated
right,
for it.
Right.
And again, you're like, look, he pulled together an amazing film and we're talking about it. So that's, you know, so I had to cross that off. And then I had to cross off Yorgos Lanthimos for Lobster because I'm
right.
like the same thing. He
right.
could get easily nominated.
And I'll tell you what,
so,
he will.
He absolutely will.
In
He's
the,
gonna,
in the
yeah.
future, he will take over.
So thank God for Shane Black. Because I got him down for the Nice Guys. Because he's
I see the disclaimer.
He's the best that couldn't win. he is, in my mind, the no chance they'll nominate Shane right. Black. Not because of the political stuff and the bridges he's burnt, but he just couldn't win for that movie.
Right.
I don't care what world you live in. Even the one that I live in, that I like Shane Black, that's not happening.
Right.
So thank God for the nice guys.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's where I'm at.
So, yeah, we've got that. Okay. Now, my director,
yeah,
I went in like kind of a weird way, and I'm not even sure if you've seen this movie.
I might not.
So
I haven't seen Sing Street. If you come up with Sing Street for the next two,
because I'm thinking that you might try to call me on it, except I wish you'd seen the movie.
Maybe I haven't.
Because then I want to argue with you about it for like a long time, right?
Well, I'll watch it. We can do it off air.
So I picked a director who I really like, but is a very weird guy.
Okay.
And I've liked him before, and hasn't done a lot. So he's a very,
not be like Yui Bowl or something.
No, he's a very weird guy, actually. So my pick for director is Burr Steers, who directed Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah.
And he is a very weird guy, actually, because he was an actor for a long time. He didn't do a lot of stuff, but he was an actor for a long time. And apparently, as far as I can piece together, I don't have him saying this.
Right.
But he is a guy who's in Hollywood and is like, I'll do something every once in a while. And that's it. And then he just goes home and I don't know what he does, but he doesn't write stuff. He doesn't also produce stuff, whatever.
You think I would argue with you about Pride and Prejudice?
He acted for a while and then he did Igby Goes Down.
Oh yeah,
which is an awesome movie.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh wow, that's funny.
It's a really awesome movie. And when that movie came out, I was like, "Here's the next guy.
That's the guy.
He's gonna come out with a movie every other year, and they're all gonna be awesome." Then he never did anything again.
Right.
And then he directed like 17 again.
Yeah.
And you're like, "What is this?"
Oh, he's done a ton of TV. Elwood, Weeds, Big Love.
Yeah, but only like one or two episodes.
Yeah, nothing major. What has he been doing?
He hasn't taken over.
Wow.
It's not like I could see if he directed Big Love for the run of the show.
The whole thing, right.
Or
it's one
like
episode.
That. But no, he directed like one
Holy
episode.
Crap, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he's got like a roadside fruit stand or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does with the rest of his time.
Right, that's really weird.
But he directed Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and I was actually weirdly blown away by that movie. It's not a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
By any stretch of the imagination.
I can't
believe
you didn't see it.
Don't think that I'm thinking
right.
It's,
this is Mark supporting.
the new 10-star movie or whatever. But it's really good and it's crazy fun. And I remember this one. I got really lucky that I like remembered this movie because I remember
it came out in February, the first week of February. So you had to stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to go digging for stuff because I'm like, what director am I gonna nominate?
This is awesome.
Because director is hard.
It's really hard.
Because you get a movie and you're like, that movie never get nominated. And then you go, oh, but it's Tom Ford. So
he would get nominated.
He could direct
a
commercial and get
like
nominated.
Like you say,
Spielberg, whatever.
Yeah.
So I remember watching this movie and I liked it. It was fun. It's very obviously screwy, right? It's a goofy kind of Jane Austen vampire hunter, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like this weird thing. But I remember watching it going, this is directed bizarrely well.
Right.
It is, it's one of those things too, where 9 out of 10 ordinary people could watch 5 movies in a row and not be able to pick out which is the one that's well directed.
Right.
This one's horribly directed. You liked this one, so you think it's well directed, whatever.
Right.
Which is why the Academy Awards often double that up.
Right.
If it's a good movie, it must be well directed. But the movie is really well directed.
Yeah,
it is
that's cool.
Weird. And not only in a bunch of standard directing ways, whatever.
Right.
These are good shots, whatever like that. It has the coolest conversation scenes that are put together really well. You have to give some credit sideways to whoever the cinematographer is that I don't know, because obviously.
Yeah, that helps.
They work together.
that helps, yeah.
They work together very closely, but it is a weird, for
cool.
such a screwy thing.
You've sold me. I'm going to watch it now.
For such a weird thing that you think, probably Buffy the Vampire Slayer is not getting Best Director.
Right.
Because we're just doing a goofy thing anyway.
Sure.
But anyway, that's my pick for director.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
All right. So now we're on movie.
Picture.
And I picked Maggie's Plan.
Oh,
so I already talked about that. Yeah. I said there were only three movies.
Yeah, right. That's true. I forget you said that. And then,
so I've already talked about that movie. And
I hit,
it's a movie that I think people have got to go see it. I mean,
yeah.
Find this movie because, you know, you like half the actors in it. It's got all kinds of people in it.
Right,
you know, go,
right.
Go check that movie out.
It's so hard. Because again, I had Nocturnal Animals, I had The Lobster, but both of them could legitimately be nominated for picture, especially now that the Academy will nominate 10 to 15. Doesn't matter.
It's not 10 to 15.
It's 10. It could be 12 next year.
10.
I came pretty close to nominating Passengers. I came real close.
Yeah.
And I still thought that when I looked over my list of films, there were a couple of films that I liked better than that. I wanted to nominate The Nice Guys just to get it going, but I didn't. When I really look at my list and I put the numerical values next to them, there was a film that I liked much better that has no chance in hell of winning. It was Green Room.
That's not bad.
I thought Green Room was so, especially considering what we're about to start talking about with Get Out.
Yeah.
I thought Green Room was so taut, tense, and easy. Like, it wasn't complicated. It's fast. The pacing's great. I didn't want it to be longer or shorter. It gave me just about everything I wanted when I sat down with some popcorn to watch a film. And it was the best of the films that couldn't win an award on my list.
Right.
I cannot stop telling people to see Green Room.
I had Green Room at one point when I was trying to whittle down screenplay.
Yeah, right. Because it's so easy.
Because it's a really
great,
good screenplay.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so that's our awards, and we've already run an hour, and we have to get out really quickly,
okay.
Right? We probably don't need that much time for Get Out. It's actually kind of funny because, as I said starting the show, everybody loves this movie. Everybody's talking about the movie.
Yeah.
You couldn't for a while go on the internet without somebody making sure that you know what it's got on Rotten Tomatoes because it was really high.
Yeah.
Just today – I saw a couple of people talking on the internet because Alman White, who is the guy who notoriously reviews everything the opposite of whatever everybody does, finally gave the movie a really bad review and said that it was really bad.
That's funny.
Because that's all he does.
Right.
Is he waits to see.
That's purposeful, isn't it? Like, is it part of his shtick or is he just such a contrarian?
It's not.
He's just such a contrarian.
I think it is his shtick. It's just not. That he acknowledges that it's his shtick or that he confesses that he purposely does that. But whenever something is universally loved or hated, he takes the opposite view and writes a review.
Yeah.
And that's his thing because it's just like clickbait, right?
I can't remember who he writes for though.
It's just to get hits. I don't even know. I think he might write for his own
website,
his own place. Or, I don't know. At one point I think he did burn. Maybe he still does. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy who that's what he does. He just sits back. He doesn't review anything like before it comes out, whatever.
Just says
he writes reviews and
if
you go on Metacritic, right, and something is like 99%, that he's the one.
Yeah.
Right. He's always just the opposite. But so going into that movie, and should be quick and throw out our ratings, I have to say we're going to help him along, or at least I am, because I didn't love this movie either.
I think I gave you more credit here.
So I give it 3.5.
I give
it 3.5 stars. It didn't work for me in so many ways. And I'm not going to get into the whole review, but for me, watching this movie was just like living inside The Emperor Has No Clothes. I was like, what the hell is everyone talking about? People who love this movie, as far as I can tell, it seems to me, are either people who don't watch a lot of horror movies, don't like a lot of horror movies, or really, really impressed by building social commentary into any movie. And I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk more about it, but that's my rating.
That was a little better than I thought, because when we walked out, I didn't think you were going to scorch the earth with it, but I put you at a 3. So
yeah,
I had originally been at 5. I had said to you, I felt pretty close to like 5.5, 4.5, like not 5.5, 5, 4.5. And I rested at 4.5. I think it's just a little below average, which is disappointing because I think it had a lot of promise. And I think as we talk about it briefly, it shows moments of that promise interspersed throughout the film, but it just clumsily gets in its own way at times that knocks it back a bit, and unfairly to some small degree, it suffers from all the buzz it got. Because if I had seen this,
maybe a little bit, yeah.
If I'd seen this as a screener, or you and I just went in cold because we didn't want to see Collide or we didn't want to see anything else, I might have walked out thinking at the best maybe 5.5, maybe
right.
Just a hair above
maybe
average,
6,
maybe. And that's pushing it, because I still see the problems that were there. But when it's as like the most amazing thing, and you know, Rotten Tomatoes has it at 99, Metacritic has it at 83, I think. You know, that is an incredible expectation from the funny guy,
right?
You know,
right.
From Key and Peele, like that guy. Are you kidding me? So watching it, you know, it certainly was a weird experience in a way, but, you know, it does certain things very well. And sometimes the things that it does very well, the pendulum swings and they do exceptionally well. Like
right.
There are those brief moments where it really shines well.
There are a few things in the movie that are a lot of fun and they're
yeah.
well done.
Yeah.
Mostly I only give this movie the rating that I do give it, because there's an idea in there somewhere that is pretty interesting.
There's a good 20-minute idea in there.
But I think what happened in this movie, and like I said, this is clearly a movie that no one was really going to see.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, if you only spend $5 million on a movie, you're not doing it because you want a big-ass nationwide release, right?
Right.
Somebody fell in love with this movie at some point and said, I'm gonna take this and run with it or whatever. This is a movie for me because Peele wrote and directed it.
Yep.
And this is a movie where he's got a draft of the screenplay
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
let's
hope,
right. Yeah.
Anyway, that there are drafts. It's not just like he wrote it and said, there it is.
Done.
But there is like a midway draft of this screenplay where right at that point, he should have just given it to somebody else.
And
somebody else should have finished the screenplay, and
yeah.
somebody else should have directed it. And then we'd have probably had a really, really good movie. Then
yeah.
we'd have probably actually got the movie that everyone's talking about. But this movie is, he had this idea for having kind of, like I said, it's not like horror. It's like weird tension and like you're trapped and whatever. In a way, it's similar to, A Cure for Wellness, even. You know, you're trapped in the weird place,
right.
where stuff starts getting weirder and weirder.
Yep.
And like I mentioned, M. Night Shyamalan's The Visit,
mm-hmm.
Except that you're the kids,
right.
and you're in this weird house,
yeah.
and stuff starts going weird with grandma and grandpa. And in this one, it's, you know, we get trapped in the weird house and it's very private. We have to make sure that we mention that it's very private.
Right.
The next house is really far away and all that stuff. And, you know, stuff starts getting odd. And
mm-hmm.
first little tiny things happen and you go, whoa, that's how it is in their family, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's just a little weird. And then it gets weirder and weirder. In this movie, for me, it gets too weird too fast. And you don't have a situation like The Visit where your little kids, what are you going to do?
Right.
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 One of the good things about The Visit, which was horrible, was at least that it was these little kids. That was something interesting
right.
to explore.
Right.
Because they're
powerless to a point.
Right.
Yeah.
They have nothing they can do about it.
Right.
And they can't exactly just take off either.
Right.
You know,
get in the car.
Where are
call.
They going to go?
Yeah, right.
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 And in this one, even though we make it that we're in a private place,
mm-hmm.
This guy in this movie, for me anyway, and maybe I just don't like it when stupid stuff happens in horror movies more than anyone else, but the fact that this guy doesn't leave ages ago
right.
really kills the movie for me. It gets too weird too fast. And it's like Eddie Murphy making jokes about black people in horror movies,
right.
you know, talking about Amityville Horror. He's like, House tells me to get out. Movie's over, right?
Yeah,
there's no movie there.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff is so over the top. And then adding to that problem for me is that once it starts getting really creepy, then all of a sudden it's like he had never seen a horror movie before, because he's just doing everything that I've seen 10,000 times in horror movies.
Right.
It's just all the same. Apart from the fact that he's not a woman, so he can't trip on a branch when he's running away.
Right.
This had like everything that ever happened in any horror movie, or like he never actually gets the keys, so he can't go try to start the car and it doesn't start and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But those are the things that it's almost like they were in some cut of the movie.
Yeah. Sure. and then they whittled it down.
And then somebody said, we don't have to have every single one.
Yeah.
But it was so, and a lot of it was, it was just boring at times. And this is not a movie where at any point I should go, I'm really bored.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff kind of happened a little too long. There were, I think, many scenes where it was like, you know, just add a minute to like 15 scenes and then you have 15 more minutes and then we're good.
and then
it's that long.
Yeah.
And it just made everything drag. And
it doesn't always have to be, because you had mentioned earlier, you know, if you go see a horror film and at the end of it, you say, I wasn't scared, you know, then that film failed you in some way. I think when we talk about horror films, in a lot of ways, this is a great place to be because I love them so much. You're not really wild about them. In order for it to be noteworthy, it's really got to knock your socks off. And it's also got to do something to me that I haven't seen 600 times before,
right?
Just last year, you know, because horror films by somewhat of their nature are very regurgitatory in some of the stuff that they'll do. There's a couple jump scares in this film, you know, and when we saw it with the audience, they screamed,
right?
You know,
right.
The power of a horror film sometimes, if done well, in my opinion, is not just to shock and gore you with blood and sinew and, you know, guts. It is to expose something socially or at least temporally, you know, something that's going on in the times that is worth exploring through the medium of horror films as a metaphor. And I get this. That's where I think with you, I'm in agreement. I think that Jordan Peele has a great 20-minute premise here about, like, as a black man in this society, in this culture, at this specific time, what do you have to put up with, both blatantly, like with the police officer that he sees, and both kind of subversively, like with the parents who are so catalog hipster white guys and girls that they're just like, yeah, we would have voted for Obama, but you know, that passive racism. Like, the thing that's really interesting to me about the beginning and the middle of the film is how Chris is a character is showing us through his experiences the real horror of being a person of color in today's world and what you
even
have to deal with.
Even some of the things that I think the movie does really well are like almost the throwaway things that don't matter. And so,
So
when they're good, it's like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually boost anything
overall
in the movie. Like, he does, there are a lot of parts where he just kind of waves off.
Yeah.
The, you know, horrible.
Sure. The uncomfortability, things. The social situations,
and
the stuff that.
Yeah.
Just,
and he's like, yeah, don't worry about it because I'm just so used to it.
Right. And that's the horror
at
of
this
his
point,
of his
right?
personal character trait and his life, if you believe he has a life
right.
outside of the 100 minutes.
And there's
that's
this,
it.
There's this very like small racism.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
We'll call it.
All
they're
the
like
microaggressions.
The tiny things
yeah.
of, I don't know, living in a racist world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, his response is like, don't even worry about that because
right.
I'm so used to that at this point that
yeah.
it doesn't even matter,
right.
right? And some of that stuff is really good in the movie.
It is.
And like you said, there's like 20 minutes. Like, this is a great Twilight Zone episode
really
or something.
Is.
But it's
it
not
is.
It's not a whole movie.
Not a feature film.
Because it you can just feel it. Stuffing itself, like it's just
yeah.
padding so many things where it makes you just look at stuff for a long time, not because you're going to get something out of it, but because we have to fill time and we don't have anything else to do.
And it's also it's almost all until nearly the end a cerebral horror film, much in the way of classic films like like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Stepford Wives, the Village of the Damned, like where you're the alien in your own environment because, you know, everyone's looking at you strangely, like the stuff, the horror of being at your, you know, girlfriend's family's house and they're all kind of like pretending to like you. And you don't get like these overt senses of like racist animosity until her brother shows up. And basically he's prodding and poking and challenging you and looking at you. And this is the part where the movie started to fail for me. And it never really recuperated from this because he's looking at Chris like he wants to eat him.
Right.
Like, I don't mean cannibalistically. I just mean like devour his soul. Like he's just overacting everything when everything has been very subtle. And then it kind of rebounds just a little bit because they have the party with all the people there and they're all doing these weird things. And looking
some
at Chris
of, some
and
of the parts
him,
of that whole thing are pretty good.
They're
but
effective.
Some of the parts of it are also terrible.
When there's an effective moment where Chris is walking and you don't hear murmuring blown out of proportion, but you kind of look around and people are casually pointing at him and they're not even trying to be secretive at it. They're just pointing at him from 60 feet away. You get this impending doom of like, geez, man, I'm the guy everyone's looking at. I don't want to, like, that's effective. But then you ham-handed and, you know, you overplay whatever you've built up by doing something so stupid and unnecessary that it detracts from the mood and the moment and the tone, pacing. And then when the movie becomes so uneven for me and you're not delivering any more cerebral stuff, now you're going for just gore and uncomfortability. And I'm not invested in any of this that you've done. Like you, I agree, and we say this from time to time, I think this is an incredibly fun movie for people who see 7 movies a year and have never seen Scream, have never seen maybe even The Cabin in the Woods. They're not aware of the tropes that in order to engage me as someone who sees them all and loves them and will embrace them if they're done well, or you who doesn't really care about them, so they have to be really well in order to get you interested. I think the movie fails on every single one of those after the 40-minute mark. I think for the first 30 minutes, it's not bad. I don't even understand the beginning, which now in hindsight doesn't make any sense, where the guy who we see later in the straw hat gets abducted off the street. Like, that doesn't make any sense for the MO of the whole family. Like, they just grab the guy, throw him in the trunk.
Well,
and then later they discover, like, oh, we needed a guy and we couldn't wait for them to,
well,
to
no,
get
but
him in
they,
other ways.
They do say...
I might have messed that.
At a later point in the movie, they do say that, you know, the brother, I think she says at some point, she says something like, my methods are
different than his.
Different than his
yes,
or whatever.
You're 100% right.
Until
you said that, I forgot it.
Yeah, he just snatches people. I think for me, the problems with the movie can be summed up in one tiny scene because, for me, it betrays the background thoughts that you're having while you're making this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scene, you know, there's only actually so much this movie, which is kind of weird.
It's really
to,
weird
to think about too. But the part where everyone stops talking,
mm-hmm.
when that happened, I was just like, as soon as that happened, I was like, I'm out.
I'm done. Yeah.
This is like a movie that doesn't know what it's doing. Right.
Yeah.
Because that whole part is supposed to be really weird
mm-hmm.
and kind of maybe that's almost like a jump scare, but it's not, it's like a jump tension.
Yeah.
Right. Except that it doesn't actually make any sense to anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just some weird idea we had. Mm-hmm. And I think this will do this. It doesn't make any sense. And when that happens, there's too much for me in a movie like this of the movie talking directly to you.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's a part where, you know, like a sign could have shown up,
mm-hmm.
you know, like everyone's acting weird.
Yeah.
Know that.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's like,
right.
yeah, I've seen them acting weird. They're acting weird enough.
It's just
goofy that scene is in there, and it really kind of tears everything away. Like you were saying, they have some good parts, they do some good stuff, and then the next thing you know, they do something like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
I mean,
it's there's just not enough work on the screenplay, really, for me.
I agree.
It needed a lot of help. And then in the end, it doesn't quite get anywhere either. It doesn't quite make it to where we're doing or saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. Like, you're always talking about horror movies, and it is interesting to see horror movies come out that you know, there's a progression of horror over time, like what's scary, right? And, you know, like the movies, you know, you see a lot of horror movies about home invasions because that's what people are scared of now or whatever. And you get the wrong movie and it doesn't work the right way. But it's, you know, like, you know, like you say, you're not scared of Japanese horror movies because I'm not scared of wet hair.
I'm not
so I'm okay. Right.
Yeah. Frightens them. Doesn't frighten.
And
me
this movie, I would be okay with being scared of what this movie wants me to be scared of.
Right.
But it just, it doesn't actually bring it home. It like, it so oversells it that it's almost not selling it at all anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's,
well, there's something also there for it to, you know, and I'll give it a little bit of kudos for this, that it certainly attempts to, and I think in places is effective in being smarter than your average horror film.
Oh yeah.
The problem is like, what you just
general
alluded to,
premise,
the general
yeah.
premise, the general idea. And there's something there about working so hard to get to this point cerebrally and then never pulling the trigger. Like, it's almost like it's so obsessed with trying to get you to think about the horrors. It never goes for the jugular when it's needed. And when it's needed, you've got to amp it up and do it. And it just almost pulls back and is like, well, wait, let me give you another weird example of why this is creepy.
Right.
I get it.
Right.
By the time she, the maid
starts already
twitching
oversold
and the guy,
the creepy, right?
Just give me something and expedite the violence now, because now it's just like, I'm past the point where I'm like, I'd have left. Not only would I have left, I'd have burned your place down.
Right.
I'd have taken all the, later for me when
and it does it so many times. It has so many things that happen that you'd have left, right?
Right.
When that maid comes in and she's twitching and he kind of writes it off and goes, man, she's crazy or whatever.
Right.
I'd be like, well, she can be crazy without me.
Right. Yeah. Tell me how she winds up.
And the other guy, like we talked about this after the movie, the other guy is
gardener
sprinting at you. Yeah. You go outside at like 2 o'clock in the morning and some dude comes and sprints at you.
Yeah.
Something different has to happen as your reaction,
right.
whatever. And then it's like thing after thing after thing. It's like, it's like we're so overselling being creeped out and you should leave.
Right.
That it's gone so far that it, you know,
now
that's all I can think of is how are
you
not gone?
And
then the movie, when it finally gets to where we've kind of like revealed everything.
Yeah.
I feel like there's actually not enough of that movie.
Right.
There's not enough movie left.
Right.
There's not enough of him actually being in trouble or whatever. And then it's like, now we got to wrap things up. So end it.
Get Out is only minorly perplexing in this. Not that people are enjoying it, because people really, they go in waves of what they will like, but how so many critics are enjoying it you could say this is a good social commentary. You could get behind the idea, but so few people are being critical of what seems so obvious to me. And I don't feel like it's so weird to think that Get Out is the new Zero Dark 30, where you and I are like, what the hell are they looking at?
Right.
This sucks. I mean, it doesn't suck, but it's not the golden goose that everyone is making it to be. When we went in and I knew, I think at that point, Rotten Tomatoes was 100%.
Yeah, it was for a while.
I'm like, how? And I was amped. I'm like, this is going to blow my mind.
Yeah, it was for a while, and not because there was like one review either. I mean,
that's how it goes. I think if you see a few films or you're just curious about it, you'll see it. I can't say to somebody, I know you'll like this, even though you haven't seen a lot of movies. I don't know. Maybe you'll feel kind of duped the way we did in the promise of it. Like, it's just a strange film. It's not horrible, but man, it is not what it is being rated.
No. All right.
Except by us.
So yeah, check out areyouscreening.com and find our contact page so that you can write us and tell us about how great Get Out is.
Yeah.
And how stupid we are. And we will see you next
week for one of those. Yeah.
We will see you next week with Logan.
I can't wait.
Which will.
It'll depress
me. If that movie disappoints,
it'll disappoint
me. I'm gonna be really bummed.
I know.
It looks really good.
It looks
Everyone
really good.
Is already saying that it's great.
R-rated Wolverine. Let's go. We've been waiting forever.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It caused Patrick Stewart to quit.
Right.
Apparently.
He's all done.
He specifically said he's done because this movie's so good.
Right.
So
can't do anything better.
I'm not gonna mess with
it
anymore.
Patrick Stewart.
that'll be interesting. So tune in next week for Logan. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Please, please share, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.